or because they've been a good person. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says, as I mentioned a little bit ago, it's not by works. We'd like to think it is. And the Bible says that it's very natural for us to think that. In the book of Proverbs, it says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it's not letting your good works outweigh your bad, because you got a whole lot of bad to answer for, regardless of whether you did good works today. Yesterday's still on the books. Yesterday's still undone business. Yesterday's that which, in fact, you have to deal with and answer for. Everything you've ever done, secret or public, God knows it. He will bring it into the light. That's what he's saying. So you got to look at it different. It's not about your good works. You got to change your mind about Jesus. He's not just a good man or a good prophet. He was those things. But he's not just that. He's God. And you got to understand that. And when you understand that he's God and he died on the cross, then that's pretty huge. Because if he died, he said, come unto me and I'm here to die for you. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Suddenly you got something to put your teeth into. Suddenly you got something to put your hope on. Something you don't have to worry about. When the rivers of the chilly river of death comes lapping at your feet, you don't have to come unglued. Because you know with your mind, your heart, you've embraced it. You put your heart and mind around it. You put your teeth into it. You found Jesus, God. You have to understand he's God. You have to give up good works. And for some of us, it's not that hard. It's very easy to understand what it means. You got to give up your mind about God in the sense that you think he's mean. Some of us think God's mean and some kind of a tyrannical killjoy. He just doesn't want you to have any fun. He's mean. You know what? I'll tell you something. All the good things in this world that you enjoy were his idea. They were. Even the good feeling of adrenaline rush when you're doing sin was his idea. The devil hates the fact you feel good about it. Think about that for a minute. Immorality in the harlot's bed. Immorality in a man's arms who's not your husband. What is that all about? That feels good. Yeah, because God did something good in marriage that the devil has taken and twisted and perverted and made evil because he wants to kind of bind you up so you'll never get loose. He'll give up the little bit of, you know, joy so he can get you for eternity with him. C.S. Lewis puts that in such beautiful terms in the Screwtape letters that he wrote about demons corresponding. Ah, yeah, we got to give up, you know, that pleasure for the man for a while, but you know what? We'll get him in the end. That'll be all gone soon. And then everything they chased will be odious and an abomination to their soul. They'll regret it for eternity. What I'm saying is this. They were his idea. Love and marriage, the baby carriage, all of the things of seeing joy in your family, sitting around your house eating dinner and laughing together in peace, even no debt in your life was his idea. But we go beyond that. We start getting ourselves in such debt, we're all scurried and flurried and messed up and get all floppy like my dog does when we leave him alone. He's working on that door like there's no tomorrow, man. We come home, his face is all wet. What are you all frothy for? You know, frothy. Linda likes my word, frothy. He's frothy. You ever get frothy? We get frothy. We get all frothy because we are trying to hide ourselves like Adam and Eve in the garden. And what a goofy thing. Do you see something happen right away to Adam and Eve? They're trying to hide from God. God's everywhere. He knows everything. And you're hiding? You can't hide. Are we skewed in our mind? You can't hide. He said, you've got to change your mind. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He's not mean. He's got all the good stuff on his side of the equation. Everything good is his. Even dying well is his. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, I'll tell you something. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I know he's going to be there. We got it all going on this side of the equation. You got nothing over here. The Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sins, but now that you've been saved, you've been quickened by faith. You're made alive. Suddenly, it makes sense. The one piece of the puzzle put in place. Oh, that's what it is. I was in Florida about 20 years ago. I don't know. It's been a long time ago now. And it came out with those stereograms. You ever seen those? You look at them, you got to kind of see through, and it's like a little three-dimensional picture. I kid you not, I stood there for 3 hours. Well, it wasn't that long, but it seemed like it. I was embarrassed because everybody's looking. Stood there forever looking at it, and everybody's like, man, that's cool. What? What am I, a candy camera or something? I'm looking at this thing. But then it broke through, and I saw it. I thought, man, that's cool. I thought it was so cool. You know what I did? I bought one for $50. We're back to another verse, weren't we? I will not put it in the table in a drawer. It's on the wall in my office at home. I'm looking at that thing. I got $50 invested in that baby. Amen? Y'all want to come over and look at my picture? I'm not giving it up. Whew. Well, what do we got? He says you got to repent, and he says be baptized. The be baptized is literally a passive. In other words, you got to allow yourself to be baptized. You got to allow that. You know, the problem with people who don't want to get baptized is they're saying to God, you know, I'll trust you on that, but I'm not trusting you there. It tells you something about your heart. You know, I'll tell you what, sign me up. I got baptized twice. I got baptized once when I was 12 years old, and I got away from God so deeply that nobody could have told I was a Christian, but God brought me out of it without a witness. His Holy Spirit convicted me. One day I told my mom, I need to get right with God. She had no idea God was dealing with me. It was all personal with God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, he that is born of God can't go on in sin because his seed remains in him. So his seed remained in me, even though I looked like a little renegade that I was. God convicted me, brought me back out of it. About 3 years later in Bible college, God got on my heart. Actually, it was the devil who was kind of convicting me. But the Bible says there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. But the devil started condemning, and I said, you know what, I'm going to shut him up. I got baptized again. But that was no big deal. Do I love him or don't I? And that's what the devil would say. You don't love him. You're just too proud to get baptized. He was just nagging me. You ever had that? Huh? I get that all the time. The Bible calls it cacapathia. It's bad pathos. You just get evil pathos. The Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier. The word hardness is cacapathia. All right? Now, you'll remember that, won't you? Especially with Stacy falling out of the chair down here in the front. But that's what it is. The devil harasses, and he convicts, and he condemns. Actually, he condemns. The devil, or the Holy Spirit convicts. That's how you know whether it's the spirit of the devil, by the way. If it's conviction, that means you haven't gotten it right yet. Isn't that right? If it's condemnation, you've prayed about it, you've given it to Christ, you've put it under the blood, you've let him forgive you, and you're moving on, and the devil keeps bringing it back up. That's condemnation. That's of the devil. You say, get behind me. I heard one guy say, I don't want him behind me. But that's not the point. The Bible says you got to repent, let yourself be baptized. Now, what's interesting about this is in this conversion section, we looked at the conviction. Their conversion involved them saying, what shall we do? Well, if they had been listening to him in his ministry, if you want to write this verse down, it's a good word, not works. John chapter 6, verse 29 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the work of God. You believe on Jesus. In his book, John 3:16 by Max Lucado, he wrote this book, and he talked about how this translator was on a foreign field, and he was trying to find just the perfect word for believe, because they didn't have a real working word for believe. And so while he was out, he was working on all the rest of it, he's pondering, what can I use, he comes across a situation where he's out in a field, and they were working, or actually they were hunting, and they brought back deer, and they were carrying this massive amount of meat on this stick, and it was not Bambi, for all of you who are soft-hearted. And they were carrying him back home. It was a long journey, and they were wore out, and they were tired. Finally, when they got back to their pavilion, they sat down, and he said, let's just sit back here and lie back and rest for a minute. He said, that's it. So he translated that verse in their language, and it read something like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever lay back and rest on Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. And that works with Hebrews chapter 2, too, because it says, strive ye to enter into this rest. God has provided a complete, perfect work, and you can just lay back in it. This passage says when he told them what they needed to do, the only thing they could do was change their mind. See, if you change your mind, it will change your behavior, won't it? If you found out that your water was overly chemical dependent, which they're telling us all the time, you know. I mean, some of us in this room probably have gone out and got little filters because we changed our mind about our water. And we went out and got a filter. It dictates how you behave. If you understand what he did and who he is and how much he loves you, it will change your world. It'll change your world. It's called conversion. And it happens as a miracle because you will not stay long enough focused on this unless God himself drives it home to your heart. Salvation is about coming to Christ. It's about believing he died for our sins and that God the Father is satisfied that our sins have been justly dealt with. Now we can throw open the doors, say, come on home, son, because you've been born again in Jesus' name. That's salvation right there. Doesn't get any clearer than that. He died on the cross, and to punctuate the fact, that he was sufficient, he rose the third day. And that is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. He rose. He rose from the dead. So he told them, you must repent. He says, and be baptized for the remission of sins. A lot of churches get all messed up here. For here means literally, on account of. You repent, that's when you're saved. You get baptized, that's when you submit yourself. Because it takes a little crucifying the pride to get saved, does it not? To actually give up self and your worship of self. You give up your worship of self and you just become like a little child. He says, you don't come like a little child, you can't be saved. You got to come like a little child. So he says, be baptized. Well, I don't want to. Fine. Don't count on salvation being real until it gets down to your core. And you say, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks. Because that's what God does. The conversion, the repentant heart doesn't just say, I'm going to do it because he told me to. That's not it. It's what do I need to do? I'm guilty. I messed up. And man, I have no real reason to expect him to love me. But that he says he does. So I'm going in. The passage says that it says then he will receive the Spirit. Now a lot of churches get messed up on this whole verse. And I'm just giving you a little something for your heart and for your head. For those of you who are believers, you understand. This is a future active tense, which means that it's an ongoing thing. It means for the first time in your life, you can be being filled in accordance with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, be filled with the Spirit. It's an ongoing thing. You cannot be being filled with the Holy Spirit until you get born again. Once you get born again, you follow the word of baptism, that's obedience. In obedience, you'll be able to be being filled with the Spirit. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't make himself known to us in our day-to-day. The Bible says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and that if any man has not the Spirit, he is none of his. So for those of us who think we're going to just do it by brute faith, I'm telling you, folks, listen, you're not going to sense God's nearness when you're walking in a disposition of disobedience. So when you walk in obedience, you will be able to receive continually, on a continual basis, and as needed. Some of us are believers, and we're never filled because, not because we're disobedient overtly, we just aren't doing anything for God, so we really don't need to draw down on the power, you know? It's like the gas is in the car, but you're not going anywhere, so you still got a full tank of gas. Now, you don't get the benefit of the full tank of gas, it's in the car. As soon as you get in the car, man, you can go all the way to Pennsylvania on a tank of gas, and back. And you'll find God to be there. You'll find God to be there. When you draw down, when you get out there, do something crazy, like tell somebody about Jesus. What's that all about? He shows up. And then they continue. I'm not going to dwell too much here, but I do want you to know that he does say that many other words he spake to them, and we read that passage in the verses that go down. Verse 41, they that were received his word were baptized. The word gladly here, you might want to underline that word and put a little mark on your margin and write the word hedonism, because that's what the word is, hedonist. Those that were gladly receiving his word. Those who were hedonistically. Woohoo! There it is. Are you all fine? God's word's so good. It's hedonism. And if you know anything about hedonism, it just means loving pleasure. These are people, those who loved it and gladly and took great pleasure in what they were hearing, these were the people who were baptized. And the Bible says that then they continued in their doctrine. If you let your eye fall down to verse 46, it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread, and from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness. Again, that same word, because the hedonism continues, that joy of the Lord, that happiness, that pleasure, and singleness of heart, and it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. But if you jump back up just a few verses into verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the doctrine and fellowship, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and of prayers. And in verse 43, it says, and fear fell upon every soul. Why? Why? Because there was a great awakening. You know, you get 3,000 people in a community born again overnight. And it's real. It's not fabricated or pretentious. It changes the society. Suddenly the whole society said, maybe they know something we don't. Maybe they know something we don't. Why do you go to church? Maybe you know something they don't. Why do those people next to go? Well, maybe they know something you don't. You see, the Bible says that you shall know the truth shall set you free, the wisdom of a man's heart makes his face to shine. We are a people who know where we're going, where we're coming from, and how we're getting there. Jesus said, you know the way. One of the apostles said, I got a question. What's the way? How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know. Another guy in the crowd, Thomas, I believe. Well, wait a minute. This is just getting a bit too heady for me. It's all theological. Jesus, tell you what, show us the Father and that'll make us satisfied. You know what he said? He said, have I been so long a time with you and you've not known me? Hi. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Listen to me. He was either a liar or he was a lunatic, certifiably crazy, or he was Lord of it all. I pick C. Would you bow with me for a moment? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.